So now we're going to go back to Meleches Soveya, which we started. I put out a new one. Yeah. Okay. So we started defining the Melacha, and we'll return to some of the questions we brought up the first year, but let's start with the new Gemara. And the Gemara is a Gemara you all saw on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Very strange Gemara. So let's just take a look at it together. Do you have a Gemara? So the Gemara is trying to figure out, it's going through the order of the Mishkan, order of the Melachos in the Mishnah, v'ha-shochto. Shochet mishamai chayev. So why are you chayev for shochet? Now that's a very strange question. Rashi is particularly difficult. I'm not sure I understand Rashi. Rashi says, shchita b'melachas ha-mishkan hecha. Umay avidita. Ime oros elim ma'adamim. Lama li behushchita be chanika nami sagi. In other words, you don't need shchita bedafka. That's the way Rashi says it. The way Tosfos learns, lava shochit masnisin kai, dahu pshita delohave elamishon netils neshama, de tsovea tenan vehedia bemasnisin, ela shochit almakai. Fine. So we want to know what's the Mechai for Shechita. So we have a debate. Rav says Mishum Tzoveya, and Shmuel says Mishum Netilas Neshama. Mishum Tzoveya in, Mishum Netilas Neshama lo, what is Rav talking about? You're not Chai Mishum Netilas Neshama. So, Eima Af Mishum Tzoveya. In other words, according to Rav, you're chayiv shnayim. When you shecht, you're chayiv A, mishum netilas neshama, B, mishum tzoveya. And according to Shmuel, you're only chayiv mishum netilas neshama. I'm a Rav. Milsa damri, ema ba milsa, delo lesu dari basrai, velichachu alai. I have to explain what I said so that later generations don't laugh at me. In other words, Rav said, you know, I know that what I'm saying sounds pretty ridiculous, that you should be chayiv mishum tzoveya. So let me clarify. It's an important thing. If you think people are going to remember what you say, at least in later generations, make sure to clarify so they don't laugh at you. So he explains. Tzoveh b'may nichalei. Nicha delitvas beis hashchita dama. Ki hechi delechzuha inchi v'laisu lives in umine. So you want the beis hashchita to look very red. Why? Because this way people will want to buy your meat. It'll look fresher. I don't know if this is the same thing or not, but I once bought a package of ground meat from a store, and it was very red looking. And then, like, when you chopped it open in half, the top was red, and, like, underneath it was brown. So I asked somebody about that. He says, oh, yeah, they spray this thing on them that keeps it red looking. Mamish, like the Gemara says, so that people think they're buying their meat looks fresh. And if you go to the butcher and you buy meat that already looks brown, it looks old. So Mamish, it's like in the olden days. So that was clearing, is it like a shiloh of it's a, you know, it's Gnevas Das, because you're making things look fresh when they aren't. Anyway, so that's for when we learn Choshen Mishpat. We talk about that shaila in the business ethics class. But for our purposes, so for our purposes, the point is that people want their meat looking fresh, and if there's blood on the base of shechita, then that looks very fresh. So memela yerchayev mishum tzoveya. That is the Gemara. According to Rav, you're also chayiv mishum tzoveya. That's the way Tosfos explains the question. The Gemara's question is, the Gemara's answer is, you're chayiv shnayim, A, mishum tils shama, and B, mishum tzoveya. Okay, ad kan the Gemara. So now we have to figure out, why does Shmuel disagree? Rav makes a lot of sense. If, in fact, the Metzias is such that you do want this, you do want it to look fresh by the red blood stain, So why would anyone disagree? So the truth is there's a couple of chidushim here that we're going to consider today in Rav's statement. Chiddush number one is that this case of Tzvia is L'chora, not Miskayim. And we're going to address that point second. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We're going to address that. But one possible objection, one reason why you might think that Rav is wrong is because it's Enem Miskayim. In fact, we'll see that the Chai Adam argues that's why Shmuel disagrees, because it's Enem Miskayim, and that's why he argues Rav doesn't paskin like, the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rav, because he holds that you need Miskayim. So that's one Chiddush. We'll deal with that Chiddush second. The first possible objection that you could raise that we're going to deal with is Ein Tzvia Ba'ochlin. Maybe you need non-food items to be chayef. That is the question. Okay. So those are the two chidushim we're going to address. I'm going to close this because nobody else joined in yet. So I assume nobody's coming. Okay. So, yeah.
Isn't this against Rebbe's so that was said by Zoran and Chorish of having an act which is definitionally to Malachus Abbas?
No, because here you're mechayim to two things. This is like Zomar V'tarach Leitzim. I'm mechayim to two things, A, to kill the animal, and B, to color the meat. In other words, everybody could agree, right? My point was, and again, I still think it's a machlokas, was if you're mechayim to do one thing, it can't be two malachos. But when you're mechayim to kill two birds with one stone, then avada could be two malachos. So you're mechayim to do two actually separate and unrelated things that happen to be happening at the same time, right? It might even happen one right after the other.
Wouldn't it only be relevant to say that if it's possible to do one without doing the other?
It is possible to do one without the other. You can paint your reisa shechita red, and you could shecht. You know, typically shechita, if you shecht for yourself
you
and you're not shechting to.
You can do the same thing of by pouring water on the grounds. You can do zoros.
No, in other words, that's the same thing. My point was that when do we find you could be chayav for two malachos bevas achas? That is zomer v'tzarch leitzim, where really you're intending to do two separate and unrelated things. It's just one maisa accomplishes both. So number one, in that case, I'm intending to gather firewood, and B, I'm intending to improve the growth of my tree. And I happen to do both with one maisa. By cutting off this branch, I accomplish my two separate goals, right? And over here, it's the same thing. By slaughtering this animal, I accomplish my two separate goals. Goal number one, to kill the animal. Goal number two, to color the base of shechita. Those are unrelated. I just happen to be killing two birds with one stone. So hence Rav says, you're chayav shnayim. In the case of watering the ground, I'm only mechaving to do one thing. I'm not mechaving to do two things. It's just that one thing that I'm mechaving to do conceivably could have fallen into two different malachos. Right? I only have kavana for one thing. I'm not saying, oh, I have kavana A to make the ground mushy and B to promote growth. I have kavana for one thing.
I don't know why that's impossible.
It would be then in a chanami. But I don't think that's the case. Right? I think the case over there is you're only mechazin for one thing. Everybody agrees, like Tos says here. You actually only have kavana to make the plants grow. That's your only kavana, right? That's why anybody waters. Nobody cares like that they should have mushy, smushy soil, right? So there's only one kavana. But still, that act could have fallen into two malachos. And that's why there's a debate. There's three opinions in the Gemara. It could be one, the other, or both. But the opinions, the two out of the three opinions that say it's one or the other, is because they say that you're only mechavin for one thing. But in a chanami, if you came up, if a person, you know, was having in mind to do, they wanted mushy soil, and they also wanted to promote growth, then in a chanami, then maybe everybody would agree to buy over there. I just don't think that's the case. And I think that might be what some of the Rishonim over there are getting at. Okay, good. So we have this debate. So again, what do we say? We say that there's two chidushim over here. Number one is that even though we're talking about ochlin, you are chayav. Number two is even though it's presumably temporary, you are chayav. So let's talk about ochlin first. Is there any reason to say that ein tzvia be'ochlin? And I would add that we do find this in other malachos, this distinction. For example, we're not up to it yet, but when it comes to Me'abed, there's a debate in the Gemara whether Yesh Ibud Ba'ochlin or not. And there is an opinion in the Gemara, at the very least it says Ein Ibud Ba'ochlin, so maybe there's a reason to say for Sviya also Ein Tzavei Ba'ochlin. After all, the Tzvi in the Mishkan was certainly not Ba'ochlin, right? Why did they do Tzavei in the Mishkan? They did it to dye the garments Tchelas and Argaman. So we're not talking about food, we're talking about wool or cloth or something like that. So therefore, maybe we should say the same thing with respect to Tzoveya. So the Tosfos Rid on this Gemara, and Ayin Hamabeis actually asked this question. The Amrit, and he asked it as a kash on Rav, right? How could Rav say Yerchaim Yishim Tzoveya? We're talking about Ochlin. The Amrit, Amai Lo Aminan Ein Tzviya Ba'Ochlin, Kid Amran Ein Disha Al Gudu Lekarka. So the way he asked the question is sort of interesting. He's saying, just like we know that for a handful of Melachos, we limited them to Gidulei Karka, right? We said Ein, it's also Machlokas Tanai, but according to Chachamim, Ein Disha Ela Gidulei Karka. So too, we should say Ein Tzviya Ba'ochlin. That's his kasha. So says the Rid, what's the answer? Mishum de Gidulei Karka Chashivi, Behilkach Melachos Hanoagos Bahen, Eina Noagos Bishar Metaltalin. There's a Chashivas to Gidulei Karka. In other words, when we limit a melacha to a certain type of thing, like, let's say, gidulei karka, so we don't just, like, randomly choose, right? We don't say, I don't know, let's say, ein tzviya ela be wool and linen, because all the tzviya in the Mishkan was wool and linen. So if you're tzviya cotton, you won't be chayef. There's no cotton in the Mishkan. No, nobody would say that, because there's no malyusa to wool and linen, be'etzem, right? So there's no reason to limit it to that category. So there's no malyusa to non-ochlin such that we could say the only time you're chayef for tzoveh is for non-ochlin. There has to be some type of chashivos, he says. Chashivos. If there was chashivos to non-ochlin, then it would make a lot of sense to say Ein Tzviya Be'ochlin. Because in a Mishkan, it was non-Ochlin, and there's Chashivos to non-Ochlin, and therefore we would say Ein Tzviya Be'ochlin. But there is no Chashivos. Mash Ein Ken, so why do we do that by Gedulei Karka? There is Chashivos to Gedulei Karka. I don't know what the Chashivos is, but he says there is. In other words, things that grow for the, I don't know, they're more Chashiv. They were created later in Maisa Bereishis. Right? I don't know what the chashivos is, but there's a chashivos to things that are gidulei karka. So memela, we limit certain malachos, like dash, to gidulei karka. Mash ein kein over here. Again, I'll read you the lesson inside. Mishum di gidulei karka chashivi, v'hokach malachos hanoheges bahen, einan noheges ela, einan noheges b'shar metaltalin. Aval kol ha-metaltalin dinan shaveh vein l'chalik bein ochlin l'shar ochlin. Once we're in the realm of metaltalin, there's no chashivas to non-ochlin. V'achanami aminan b'me'abed sheish ibud b'ochlin. Now that's actually sort of interesting, because as I mentioned, there's a debate by me'abed. Sounds like perhaps he's saying that this is true according to the opinion of yesh ibud b'ochlin. In other words, to me, actually, it sort of sounds like Rav at the very least, and maybe we hold Yesh Ibud Be'ochlin, and just like Yesh Ibud Be'ochlin, so too Yesh Tzviya Be'ochlin. And that viewpoint, that perspective, is not Mechalek, because there's no Chashivos to non-Ochlin. That seems to be the view of the Tosfos Rid. And again, it's a chiddush on many levels. It's not so obvious what the chashivas of gedulei karka is, and his tushtel to ibud is also questionable, especially if you think we don't paskin that way. But that's what the rid says. Good. Does everyone agree with this rid? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Shibulei Aleket, who's quoting from the Yireim, who says no, ein tzviya ba'ochlin. And he says an example. For example, I don't know, people put carcom into their food, right? People put spices. It's a type of spice that dyes your food like yellow, orange. It's a nice color. So do you have to be worried when you put this spice into your food that now you're dyeing your food? He says, no, you don't have to worry about it. Ein svia b'ochle. Great. So now the question is, well, but what about Rav? Rav held that you are a chayav mishum tzoveya with meat, which is presumably ochlin. How do you explain that? So we're going to see a number of answers to this question, and there's going to be a number of nafkaminas depending on which answer you give. So one answer to this question, the Bir Halacha points out, is Simon Shimchaf, Sif Yotes, Dibur Mas Chalita, and he quotes from the Orz Ruah, who says that when the Gemara says that they used to be Tzoveya, the Beis HaShchita, you know what the Beis HaShchita is? It's not the meat, it's the hide, the wool. Meaning to say, in those days, at the very least, when they would sell meat, sort of like, you know, you go to the shuk, you could still see this sometimes, right? They wouldn't just sell a piece of cut meat. They would sell the whole animal, I guess, the slaughtered animal. And people would see the redness of the blood on the wool, on the hide, and therefore they'll say, oh, this is fresh meat, I want to buy it. Now, this, by the way, also answers the other question we said, but one second, it's not miskayim. Well, if we're talking about on the hide, then it is miskayim. So, according to the way the Orz Ruah learns, then the reason why Rav is machayev is A, because it's not ochlin, and B, because it's miskayim. Now, if you look at Rashi, though, on this Gemara, Rashi, Ein Ham and Base, the very top Rashi, he says, Mishum Tzoveya, Shetzoveya es habasar shall Base hashchita. So Rashi does not learn like the Orz Ruah. And if you learn like Rashi, we have to return to this question. But at the very least, if you learn like the Orz Ruah, so then there is no raya from this Gemara that yesh tzviya b'ochlin. That's one approach. That's an easy approach.
We're assuming it's tzviya b'ochlin because tzviya b'mishkan wasn't with ochlin?
Either because of the Mishkan or because of, and we'll talk about this shortly, a more fundamental reason, which is that ochlin are be'ikar l'achila, and therefore this tzviya is not so important. It's a tikkun eichel v'alma, something like that. But whereas as opposed to clothing, where they're, you know, chazus is very important. Just like l'mashal we saw in a Yardei last year, chazus alav milsehi, somebody brought up, right, that's not, tam isn't batel, but chazus is batel, because food is meant for achila, tam is very important. So we'll get to that. It's a very good question, why? So we haven't answered that question, why? Maybe Mishkan, maybe for fundamental reasons. But Lisa, could you possibly say, like the Shibulei Aleket, ain't Shibud Ba'ochlin, ain't Tzviya Ba'ochlin, and how would you explain Rav? So if you learn like the Orz Ruah, it's not Akasha at all. But the next option is from the Chacham Tzvi. This Chacham Tzvi I sent you, if you didn't see it inside yet, it's worth seeing. It's Siman Tzadi Beis. I sent you the whole thing in the Makoros. So the Chacham Tzvi says like this. He says that when we say Ein Zayin B'Ochlin, we mean when it's Roi L'Achila, it's Omed L'Achila, but something that is a food, technically speaking, but it's Aser B'Achila, let's say, so then Yesh Tzviya. Well, you couldn't eat this Beis HaShchita right now because there's blood on it, right? You have to take off the blood or cut off the blood, wash off the blood, right? Blood is aser b'achila. He says, since it's aser to eat this meat that has blood on it, so therefore there's no violation of the principle of ein tzviya b'ochlin. Now, this is a chiddush, because you might have thought that the hagdar of ochlin should be not the halachic question of whether this is mutter or aser b'achila. It should be whether this is food or not. So the Chacham Tzvi is saying, no, we're going to look at halacha to define this. Now, this is a chakira that we've discussed, I don't know, probably half a dozen times already in various malachos. Do we look at halacha to define something, or do we look at the metzias? We talked about it, let's say, in, when we did discuss removing the berries from the hadasim. All sorts of cases we talked about it when we did dash and schita. A lot of interesting questions, whether you define things halachically or not. This might not be the exact same point, though it might be. The Chacham Tzvi is saying, Lamaisa, if it's aser to be eaten, then it's considered lav ochlin. Now, that's a very big chiddush. Is there a makor for this in the Gemara anywhere? That we look at the iser v'heter status as opposed to the balabatish definition of ochlin, right? So, no, but in Sovea, precisely. So there might be a makor. I sent you to see a Mishnah Lamelech who quotes a Miyuchas L'Rashba. For those of you who learned Menachos, so there's this great sefer called Chidush HaRashba on Menachos, and it's really great because like there's no Rishonim on Menachos. I mean, on the Stam stuff, there's a little bit more, but you know, Kachim, there's not. So you know, you have to use the there's a sefer, the Knesset HaRishonim, that gathers like the Rishonim from all the other places in Shas. You have like some Rishonim beyond Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam. Some people like learning Kachim, actually. That's because so it's just Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rambam. But anyway, for those who like more Rishonim, so you know, they dig up in different places. So it's very exciting because there's a Rashba in Menachos. So it's not actually a Rashba. It's probably like a Talmud of a Rashba. The Rashba himself didn't write it. Ray Willard would call it pseudo Rashba. So the pseudo Rashba is a very interesting Shaila. It's like this. There's a Gemara over there, Menachos, that says, you know, we know that it's a pasuk called Karban Chatak of Melch. You have to be molech the karbanos, and there's a drasha that's saying this is Daicha Shabbos as well, right? Let's say you're bringing the Karban Tamid on Shabbos, so not only are you allowed to be shochet the Karban Tamid and the like, you're also allowed to do malicha. So the question is, like, why do we need a drasha for that? What malacha is there in being molech this vasar in the first place, such that I would need a heter, a drasha, to tell me it's mutter? So says the Rashba, that I'll tell you why. Because it would be aser alt ibud. Hi, but one second. And this, as I said, is quoted by the Mishnah Melech Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Hey. But I have a kasha. Ein ibud ba'ochlin, ein malicha ba'ochlin. There's no malicha for ochl. You're allowed to put salt on your meat. So, why is it aser? And he answers, says the Rashba, very simple. Are you allowed to eat this meat? No. It's carbon ola. It's going to get burnt. This is not food? In other words, what is the Rashba telling us? We don't look at the Balabatish definition of food. We look at the halachic definition of food. The halacha sees this karban as non-food, right? It's meat, but it's non-food. So memela, it would have been aser to do malicha absent the xeris hakasav. Wow. So if so, we have a gevaldik araya for the Chacham Tzvi. Now, the Chacham Tzvi actually takes us one step further, which is sort of interesting. I would have said the pshat is, it depends if it's omed la'achila or not. If it's not omed la'achila, even for halachic reasons, like the fact that this is a carbon ola, or because of the iser of achilas dam, so it's not omed la'achila, then it's shayach the iser of tzoveya or me'abed or the like. That's the way, and if it is omed la'achila, it's mutter. But what about if something is not omed l'achila, even though it's theoretically edible? So I would have thought that once we're going to take this approach of the Chacham Tzvi, Rashba, Mishnah L'Melech, I would have said that we look at omed l'achila, and therefore, even if it's technically edible, then it should still be shayach to the malacha of tzoveya if you're not going to eat it. This is not designated as food. That's what I would have thought. But the Chacham Tzvi himself actually doesn't say that. Chacham Tzvi says, there's a very interesting machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid in Perek Tes about whether making the dye is a violation of tzoveya. Now, as we know, that dyeing the wool is tzoveya, But what about making the die? Is that tzoveya or not? So the Rambam says it is. Ha'osa ein hatzava hareza told us tzoveya v'chayev. Ketzad kegon shenasan kal kantus l'soch me'aftza shenasa hakol shachor o shenasa isfa, and all these things. So says the Ravid, I don't think so. Amar Avram, kasha li bishol samanim degamina minei mevashel tepok li nami mishum tzoveya hamayim. Vani ha'yisi savor she is chayv mishum tzoveya ad sheyitzba davar shenigmer abo melechas hatzava aval tzvias mayim she'ena l'tzorach atzman lo. Very interesting. It's almost like the Ravid is saying that you need this final step, right? Preparing the dye is not tzoveya. Tzoveya, what happens when you prepare the dye? Let's say it's a water-based dye. Right, I guess, or an oil-based dye. Let's say water-based dye. That's what the Ravid's assuming. So one second. We talked about that already when we did Lush. So it's a water-based dye. So you put these samimanim into the water to color the water blue. So that is not chayev mishum tzoveya. That's what the Ravid says, the Rambam says, it is chayv mishum tzoveya. Good. So now, if you look at some of these ingredients, you could wonder about whether or not they're edible. So the Chacham Tzvi says that actually the Rambam would say that if they are edible, you're chayv. Sorry. You are not chayev because ein svi of ochlin, right? If they're edible, you're not chayev because ein svi of ochlin. That's what the Chacham Tzvi says. And the fact that it's not omed lachil at all is not enough. That is the claim of the Chacham Tzvi. Now, again, I don't know if the Mishnah or the Rashi would agree to that. Maybe they would say no. They would say maybe these dyes are edible. I don't know if they are or they're not. But maybe these dyes are edible. But even if they're edible, since it's not omeid, then it's shayach to melechas tzoveya, right? Just like we said, if the karban, the meat's going to be nikra v'algabim is beach, so there's no melacha, it's considered non-ochlin because it's not omid lachila. So anything that's not omid lachila, even if it's edible, is bechlal the melacha. That's what, I would have said. But the Chacham Tzvi says, no. If it's aser to eat, then it's not ochlin, right? Whether it's alts dam or alts being designated for the mizbeach. But if it's edible, even if it's not omid lachach, if it's edible, then it's aser, it's chayiv. So this brings up a very interesting question. what's the place where everyone talks about this? By those toilet flushers. So these aren't as common now as they used to be. They used to be more common. Plumbers really don't think that they should be used because they're bad for your pipes. Or maybe they think that you should be used because then you have to call the plumber more frequently. They have these things. They're more common in Eretz Yisrael, actually. Maybe because the pipes are all plastic. I don't know. Anyway, they have these things that you put them in the toilet, and every time you flush, a little bit of toilet cleaner comes out and sanitizes the toilet. And it also dyes the water blue, let's say, or purple or green, whatever color you happen to use, right? They're usually blue. So the problem is you're dyeing the water, right? So the question is, could we say, but maybe this should be mutter. Why? If we follow the Shibulei Leket, ein tzvia b'ochlin. And water is ochel. Water is ochel. So it should be mutter. It should be mutter because of ein tzvia b'ochlin. So now, let's go back to this question. So it might be edible, it might be water, but one second, it's not omed lachila, right? Nobody takes the water out of their toilet and drinks it. So if you think that it goes by whether anything that's not omed lachila shayach to the melacha of soveya, So then we're stuck. We'll see if there are other kulas. But this is not a helpful tzad lahakel. But if we hold like the Chacham Tzvi, at least B'das HaRambam, the Chacham Tzvi holds, that doesn't matter if something is only l'achila or not. If it's halachically mutter b'achila, so then this would be mutter. So that's why Rabbi Sobolovsky claimed, I think, I understood it correctly, I don't remember, but he said, oh, this Chacham Tzvi would be a tzad lahakel for those toilet flushers. He happened to sing, I'm going to tell you some other tzadim in a moment, but he mentioned that when he was in YU, they had these things, so he would go around and rip them out before Shabbos, every Shabbos. During the summers, he would rip out all the grass, and during the winters in YU, he would take out the toilet flushers.
That's why they don't have them anymore.
That's it.
They gave up.
Exactly. So that's the point. Now, again, I don't know. It's not. First of all, you can't say this would be mutter, let's say, for the Rashba Mishnah Lamelech, because, like we were saying, maybe they themselves are not saying, they're not saying that it depends just on the halacha. They're just saying if something's not omid lachila, then it's shaykh to meleches soveya. But at least the Chacham Tzvi you have. Now, if you're going to apply this, it's a very big chiddush, because it becomes totally inedible after you put, this stuff is poison, right? There's a reason why it wrecks your pipes. If it wrecks your plumbing pipes, it's definitely going to wreck the pipes inside your body. So the result is something that is totally inedible. So I guess if you're going to say this is a tzad lahakel, or Solovsky's assuming, interestingly enough, that we're saying that the blue stuff is dyeing the water. So since the water is edible, let's assume your toilet water is edible. It's a question in its own right. But even if we assume that your toilet water is edible, we're saying that we don't look at the final product, which is totally inedible. We look at the thing being dyed. And we look at this as an act of dyeing the water blue. So since the thing being dyed is edible, then we could be makel al tzein tzvi of ochlin. So to me, that's an interesting chiddush. I would have thought that even if you follow the Chacham Tzvi, that's only if the final product is ra'i l'achila, that it would be mutter. In other words, the Chacham Tzvi is saying that the Rambam would be, and from the Raya he brings from the Rambam, I thought that was mochach. Because what's he saying for the Rambam? He's saying when you take the water and you dye it with some of these ingredients, let's imagine that chveis, what are some of these things? May karkum. Let's say karkum is, right? Karkum is, I assume, edible. I don't know. So the Chacham Tzvi is saying, if may karkum is edible, so then it wouldn't be aser alts, soveya kazein tzvi abalklin, right? But if karkum is inedible, or if the final product of this, if this dye is inedible, then the Rambam would agree it's pater, right? So, because you're dyeing the water blue or green or the like to make dye. So I thought that even the Chacham Tzvi wouldn't apply here, because since the final product is inedible, then it wouldn't help. Yeah.
Isn't the Raya, though, from that, like the Rambam passing is like Shmuel by the Shkita case? So in that case, the blood is getting on the meat, and then the meat, assuming that one learns that the meat is Raya L'Achila, in that case.
So he's saying like this, right?
So you can't eat, well, you can't eat
you
the
can wipe
blood
up
with the meat on it. You can't eat the meat with the blood on it. It's bloody.
You can't eat the meat with the blood on it, exactly. So what's the, so?
So why is that a hatter ain't seva ofrim?
That's the point. I see what you're saying. You're saying, well, mice over there, the thing being dyed is, but there the thing being dyed is still edible. In other words, you wash off the meat, you wash off the blood. And now it's mutter to eat.
But the point is... you're getting rid of the blood.
That's a point.
Then.
Okay. But in other words, the point is that Here you can't get rid of it. So I'm not saying this wrong.
You're saying in that case the mice is still food.
Yeah. So now, once we're on this topic of toilet water, are there any other studim to be makel on this? So Rousseau said maybe it's not a tzvia shel kayama, though I didn't understand that so much either, because again, maishna midam shel beis hashchita, unless you're going to say that's also pater al tzeinu kayama. When it's kayama, oh, that's another raya. Or against, well, no, maybe not. No. The Mishnah Berurah says explicitly, talks about it, not this case, but a more permanent time. The Mishnah Berurah, Simen Shin Chaf, Sif Katan and Vev, writes like this: Lahasim Samim Manim Bitzluchis Mayim Lahamid Bechalon Negra Shamesh. So there's a Chashchi of Chatas. Right? So what are you doing over there? I don't know. You want like your room to look nice and blue. So you take some water and you put some blue dye into the water, and then you put it up by the window. And now, when the light shines through your window, your room is nice and blue. It gives it a nice color, right? So the Mishnah Berurah says that's a chash chatas. There, it's permanent. There too.
Are you allowed to pull the shades closed on Shabbos?
You sound like Aaron.
Honest question. I'm saying, like, if that's Tzoveya, then you're being Tzoveya your room black when you close the shades. Like,
no, here it's dyeing the water. It's not the room. We're not worried about the water. You're dyeing the water. You're making, like, stained glass windows.
I thought you were talking about the rain.
But
the case is you're putting blue, whatever color it is.
You have a vase full of water. You put blue dye into it. And now, when the light shines through the window, it shines through this blue water, and it's nice. It's pretty.
So then,
that's tzoveya on the water.
It's tzoveya on the water.
I assume.
It's not with the sunlight. Forget about the sunlight.
Forget about the sunlight.
Yeah, it's forget about the sunlight. That's what he mentions. But it's nothing to do. Yeah, forget that. You just want you like colored water.
Okay.
It's pretty. So first of all, over there, it's going into water, and still, though again, so that's why again, those that are worried about the toilet shaila, that's what they're saying. Maybe this should be similar to the similar type of shaila to what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is a chi of chatas. So, some say. So Lovsky said, maybe it could be Mekel because it's a psik reshit alon yichalai. Okay. I mean, that in and of itself isn't, not pashat that it's mutter, but there's more of it sad to be Mekel, especially if it's derabanan because it's enemus kayim. We'll have to see more about that. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, as Rosalsky pointed out in Shmir Shabbos, if you want to look, it's Perk Chaf Gimel Simf Yudalid, says that all in the old version, that the pshat, that's not correct, because you want it blue, right? And why do you want it blue? So you want it blue either because it makes the toilet look cleaner, right? That's why people, put this blue stuff in, because now they think that makes the toilet look very fresh. Or Rabbi Solovsky says for a different reason, Shul Zalman says also a different reason, because people, it lets you know when it stops running out. In other words, how do you know when these things stop being effective? So when they stop coloring your water blue, so then they've run out. That's why they put the dye into it. The dye isn't part of the cleaning.
No, by Clorox, where you just pour it into the toilet. It's
We're not talking.
Blue. That's not a good rag.
No, that's the same thing. It's actually a slightly different reason, because you know what level of concentration it is. It's a similar thing. I mean, it might be because of the clean things.
It never runs out. It doesn't have the same oneness.
I don't know what you mean.
Meaning, Rishon Zalman was saying that it's nicha when the color comes out of the toilet flusher. It's a toilet flusher because you could see how much.
No, this is a different style.
Yeah,
it's to show that you've put enough in. The point is, generally speaking, we're talking about things like this. Anytime they put dye in for a reason, right? whether to make it look fresher so you know it doesn't run out, or so you know it has enough concentration, or the like. It's not like these things are naturally blue, right? I think they say that the Shlomo Zalman said that if you look in the stores, the brands that have no dye in it are cheaper, right? So the point is that this, you know, when you put dye into something, it's for a reason, right? Whatever the reason is.
Is it about them or you? I mean, if you don't.
Well, that's the point. In other words, mecha tesi that you're weird, right? They do it because people want it to look fresh, or because people want to know. So I think what Adam is saying is a good point, which is you could be mako maybe in somebody else's house. Let's assume the reason is because they want to. You want it to, you know, to so the people who own the toilet know when this blue stuff is running out, right? And they need to replace it, or so that it looks fresher, or the like. So okay, your own toilet. That would make it usher. So don't put these things in your own toilet, right? Mm-hmm. But when does the shaila come up? You're at somebody else's house, and they have these things. So for you, it's definitely lo nichalei, right? Ar dechavre, we already know you don't care about other people, as we said earlier. And you don't care if this thing runs out or the like. So I think what Adam is saying is a good point. I think probably for the homeowner, it's hard to argue with subsequation to lo nichalei. But for a guest, then pashtus is it is a psik reisha de lo nichalei. No, then without that, I mean, if you want, you could throw that in as a sniff, but I think that's a very weak kula.
No, but I'm saying, what's the psik reisha lo nichalei still also?
Yeah, but now we have what to work with. So what are the other tzadim? It's psik reish lo nichalei on an iser d'rabbanan probably because it's not miskayim. We'll talk about miskayim in a moment. We could add in some other svaros, like number one, this is questionable, but the some achronim say, I saw this quote in the Dirshu note 56 from the Orla Tzion, that it's grama, it's like koch kocho. Now, I don't know if in our yeshiva we would accept this as a grama, right, because it's all built in, but at least some might see it as a grama, and so there are mekilim. I think Rav Asher Weiss is mekel. He says it's in a machavein.
Even on your own toilet, or
also? I think he's on your own toilet, but I'm not sure. You have to look it up. It's Aleph, Chelek Aleph, Simon Chaf, Oz Beis. But again, when you're dealing with a situation of Gavad Abrios, you have to go to the bathroom. So, right, nobody had to have a mina that going urinating in a toilet is Tzoveya Baichlin.
Well, it's not
Oakland. It's Tzoveya in water. Well, it's the same Shaila. You're coloring water yellow. Why do you want? Why isn't it Aser? Right? So, it's only a potential Shaila over here. So, if you're Mechavein Lekach, if you're the owner, you care, so then it's going to be Aser. Maybe.
It's called
maybe.
Aser, but so you're going to have to use your foot to knock it out.
But if you're at somebody else's house, and this is the only toilet, I think there's makom to be mako for these reasons, and we'll see actually another reason that we haven't gotten to yet.
The reason why I was mentioning Clorox is because
I don't know what you mean by Clorox.
Clorox is this.
I know what Clorox
stuff.
Is. That Clorox is.
It's
is,
a brand, it, so they have many different
right.
products. So one
so
of
you
the
mean
products,
one some of their toilet cleaners are colored.
Yes. So that's clearly not to see if they're.
I told you the reason why
it's
for.
Or not,
yeah, it's for a different reason. It is for concentration.
No, it's just to make it feel fresh.
Okay, that's good enough.
No,
it doesn't really matter
no,
why.
Meaning, because that would take away the psychoration to lo nichalei. Because I'm a guest.
Ah, come on, you don't care.
I might use it again.
If I wash your hands and your, I don't think so. I don't think. You don't care if your toilet, your friend's toilet is fresh.
If I go a second time, I...
Ah, come on. I don't know.
Does it depend on the person?
Yes, if you depended on, if you cared about that, then fine. It's just like nobody goes around cleaning other people's toilets. Like, you know, I mean, if you make a mess in the toilet, you should, even if it's not your toilet, you should clean it up. But I'm saying nobody, like, if you didn't make a mess in the toilet, you don't start cleaning other people's toilets, right?
Rebbe,
yeah.
I know Rebbe said this ad absurdum, but just to understand, you're right, everyone takes the stomach posture that if you use the bathroom, it's not Sviya
right.
Or the toilet.
So, as I said, that might have other. We're going to talk about Tzviya Derech Lech Lech in just a moment. So maybe that's why this could be. In other words, there you mamish don't care. You there's no. As I said, this is really going to be a topic we're going to get to in just a couple of moments. We're going to talk about. It's like wiping your face with a napkin. So there actually are some Rishonim that say that's Aser and the like. At the very least. When you go to the bathroom, it's even if you've dyed the water yellow, it's derech lech lech and the like. You have no interest to you're dirtying the water. You're not. Whereas with the toilet flushers, that's more of a shaila because there, at least if you're the bialim, you do want. You could argue that you want the water colored blue. That's your interest. Okay. So let's go back to our basic question. We sort of got a little far afield. So again, the Gemara says that you're chayav mishum tzoveya according to Rav because you make the base of shechita bloody. So why would anyone disagree with Rav? Let's talk about it that way. And this is especially important because the Rambam, at the very least, doesn't paskin like Rav, right? So, so what's the reason? So the first possibility we considered was the question of Ochlin or not. And we raised the question of Ein Tzviya B'Ochlin. So, the question that Yoni raised is, well, why would you say Ein Tzviya B'Ochlin? Why would anyone say Ein Tzviya B'Ochlin? So one possibility is it's like the Rid considered and rejected maybe a formal halacha related to the category of food. But another possibility is that this is because normally we look at ochel that's colored, right? You put some saffron into your mashed potatoes or something like that, even though you have some paprika or the like, you know, it changes the colors. But that's really just tikkun ochel be'alma. And that's okay. Now, the raya for that, we'll get to in a moment, but the biggest raya that this is true is the Gemara by Hardal. We discussed this Gemara extensively when we did Borer. The Gemara there talks about separating an egg, and again, the context is Borer or Meshamer, is it mut or not? And the Gemara says maybe it's not a Borer problem because it's just Chazusa, but the Gemara seems to take for granted that even though you're coloring your mustard yellow, right, I assume it's light, you know, more lightish yellow without the egg yolk, and then you add the egg yolk, and now it's a very rich yellow. So even though you're certainly being mechavein for tzviya, but that should be, it's okay.
That's not going to work. No one's going to eat toilet water.
No, I wasn't going in that direction. No, it's just it was a general question. Now the Rambam, as I said, the Rambam doesn't paskin like Rav. And actually, it's a very interesting question. Why wouldn't we paskin like Rav? Usually, the halacha is like Rav Bisurin. So we'll see one theory in a moment. But Lecha Mishnah simply says, because The fact that the Gemara like already thought, or Rav himself thought, that his svar was like a little laughable, a little funny, a little doichak, so you see that it's not such a good svara, and that's why the Rambam didn't paskin that way. So one way or the other, though, l'chora, we have a raya from the Gemara by the mustard. Again, it's a Gemara Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis or Kuf Mem Amud Aleph. I remember that we see that in Tzvia Be'ochlin. And again, that might even be the reason why the Rambam didn't paskin like Rav. L'maisa, we have that svara, and that's the Shibulei Haleket, and we paskin according to Rambam like Shmuel. And therefore, l'chora, there's a halach l'maisa, we paskin ein tzvia be'ochlin, certainly when it comes to food that you're actually going to eat, right? And that's the psak of the Mishnah Berura. Mishnah Berura, sif kata nun vav, is machria, that ein tzvia be'ochlin. And that's true, even though your kavana is to actually diet. And that's very important. This is really coming from the Rama Darkei Moshe Oz Beis. He quotes from his father, actually, that he was Docha, the Chumrah of Rabbi Avram Mimitz. Rabbi Avram Mimitz said that you shouldn't put red wine into the white wine. I don't know, maybe he was having a Tu B'Shvat Seder. And he said, no. You see from that Gemara by Chardal, that ain't Tzvia B'Ochlin. The Gra also, Simen Shin Chaf Sivkat Alamed, says that this is the makor for the Pesach and the Shulchan Aruch, that ain't Tzvia B'Ochlin. And again, over there, it's not just happenstance Tzvia. In other words, it's Pashut that, you know, it's going to be mutter to, like, put some paprika onto your mashed potatoes when you know, your Ikar Kavan is for taste. But the Chiddush is, I don't know, paprika, maybe that's Ikar, is for color. Whatever it is, you could put spices on your food where your Ikar Kavana is for taste, right? That's Pashut, just to Ganaichal. But the Chiddush that you see from that case of Chardal, and this is what the Rama is saying, is that even when you're mechavein for Tzvia, like in the case of Chardal, right, you're not making it taste better, presumably, you're just making it look yellower. Or likewise, the example of the Rama mixing the red wine in, so then it's mutter. So that's the psak, l'maisa we paskin ein tzvia ba'ochlin, even when you're mechavein for changing the colors. The Chai Adam, we should know, we're going to get back to Chai Adam a little bit later, and he does not like this kula, and he has a chiluk. It's hard to understand chiluk. But that's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah, that you're allowed to be tzoveh. There's no shaila for tzvia ba'ochlin. Again, at the very least, when we're talking about ochlin that are omdin la'achila, it's certainly mutter, even though you're mechavein to change the color. But then, the Mishnah Berurah has a kenech, which he sort of takes a little bit away from his kula. He writes, Mikol makom, en rishai lasos mara b'yayin saraf v'dva sheyiknu mimenu. He quotes this in the Prima Gadim. And he says, anyway, it's a problem because of Nuchol, but he says it's a problem of Tzobeya. In other words, what does this mean? I'm not sure exactly, but they used to go ahead and, I don't know, let's say you had vodka. So vodka's clear. And you want it to be colored vodka to look a little better. So you put a little bit of something, I don't know, coffee into the vodka. Now it's going to be brownish vodka or something like that. You're trying, or honey is another example. Oh, no, you're changing the color of some food so that people will buy it. So then the Mishnah Berurah says it's usur. So what's the difference? Right? And it's actually interesting because Rav himself was machmir by mechira, right? Rav himself was machmir by mechira. That was why Rav said it's usur to color it. So, I don't know. It's hard to understand, right? Again, because the Mishnah Berurah is matir even by the wine, let's say, even though you're mechavein for tzoveya. You're mechavein to change the color. It's not for taste. So, I assume maybe the pshat is like this. When it's omed l'achila, so then the ikar is the taste, and the presentation is secondary. Even though you want nice, you know, you want it to be nicely presented, your mustard, and like, you know, you want it to be a little more yellow, but the ikar is still the taste, right? And they're like we said by Chazusa and Yaradeya, the presentation, the color, that's not the secondary. But when it's omed l'mechira, so at least from the vendor's perspective, the ikar is the appearance. And maybe that's behind Rav. The ikar is the appearance. You want this to look like really good food. And that's why people will buy it, right? When the schnapps is orange or brown or whatever color it is, right? So you think that people are going to see this color and they're going to say, ah, I've got this schnapps. It's worth paying an extra $6 for because it's such a nice color. So that's perhaps why we can no longer just call it secondary, because we're talking about to sell. So now it's very important. Again, you could sort of say it in a very more technical way, that now it's chayra, it's not oichel, because it's oimid l'mechira, maybe. Maybe that's the pshat. Or maybe, again, a little more balabatish, they could both be possibilities, I don't know which one is right, which is that when chazusa becomes paramount, or very important, not just this, makes it a little nicer, but it becomes very important, so that's when it becomes aser. And I was wondering if you, nowadays, people care a lot about the presentations of the food. Look at all the Jewish magazines. They have it's not enough to just serve food that tastes good. You have to have a tablescape. And, there's a whole thing. We talked about this, right? Plating? Plating is a big Indian nowadays. It doesn't matter if it tastes good. What matters is if it looks good. That's I think the idea behind all these disgusting desserts that they have nowadays, they're horrible if you taste them, but they look good. So instead of having an old-fashioned cookie or cake, which, I don't know, tastes very good, but, the look, who knows? The goal here is to make it look good. So maybe nowadays, according to the Mishnah Berurah edition, we should go, all this should be usher. Okay, I'm joking a little bit. But that seems to be the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. So in other words, if you're making it for yourself, it's mutter. Just one last ha'ar on the Mishnah Berurah. Nevertheless, Mishnah Berurah does say, not here, where he's where he's discussing Tzoveya Ba'ochlin, but in Hilchos Bishul, he mentions in the Shaar Tzion that really, 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 it's a little better to be machmir. In other words, since this whole Indian is in Pashut, it's not pasha to be makel for tzvi of ochlin, as some rishonim paskin like Rav, as we'll see in a moment, and I don't know, the Rid maybe doesn't hold to the shibule alakat, and the chardal, I don't know how you're going to deal with the chardal case, but you could try to be doicha the raya from the chardal case, like the chayadam, because it's already yellow, just making it a little more yellow. So it's not so pasha to be makel for tzvi of ochlin, and therefore okay in a chanami. But it's not so pashut. You could make the case, if you were really looking to be machmir, that this isn't so pashut. And therefore, the nafkamina is, if you're making tea on Shabbos, and let's say you're using tea essence, so do you have to be concerned about soveya of the water? You're dyeing the water brown. So the Mishnah Berurah says, look, really, the first thing you have to worry about when it comes to making tea on Shabbos is bishul. But let's say you solve all the Bishul Shilas. Let's imagine, the best way to make tea on Shabbos to avoid any Shilas would be you have hot essence, right? This is the way they had it in Chevron. Chevron is a lot of Yerushalmis, so you have Yerushalmi, you have to be very machmir to have tea on Shabbos. So they would mamish have, this is like the ideal way of making tea. They'd have urns with essence in them. One urn with water and one urn with tea essence. So, mamish, no bishul shailas at all. So now the shaila is, which one do you put in first? Do you put the water in first and add the essence to the water? Or do you put the essence in first and add the water to the essence? Right? So mitzad hochas bishul, there's no difference over here. They're both boiling. So the Mishnah says, you know what? Let's be machmir and put the water into the essence. This is, if you want to see, it's the Mishnah Berurah in the Shaar Tzion, in Simen Shin Ches Shaar Tzion Os Samech Hei. So this is a little better for Tzoveya. That's what he says. Now, happens to be, in other words, what you see from here is that even though he's makel and he does pasken an ein svia ba'ochlin, assuming you're not planning to sell it, but liyeser se'es, it's best to be a little bit machmir if you could avoid it. And this is a way of avoiding it, right? Mali putting in the water first, Mali putting in the tea essence first. It's easy to be machmir, so you should be machmir. Now, it's not at all obvious why this helps at all, right? Because either way, you're dyeing the water. Who cares whether you put the tea essence in first? In other words, again, the way I think I always understood this Mishnah Berurah was, he's saying that when you put the water into the essence, so then you're diluting the essence. When you put the essence into the water, you're dyeing the water. But if you stop and you think about it, either way you're dyeing the water. Who cares what goes into what, right? When you put the water into the essence, you're dyeing the water. And when you put the essence into the water, you're dyeing the water. So I never understood that, actually. So I saw in Dershu, note 48, they say from Rav Nissen Karel, it's an answer. He says, yeah, right, doesn't make any difference. It's a shinoi. In other words, normally the way you do it, apparently, when you make tea essence. Nobody ever makes tea essence during the week. So. But theoretically, the normal way to do things, I guess this is true. Like, you know, when you make coffee, I think the normal way everybody makes coffee, except on Shabbos maybe, is by putting the water into the coffee grounds. Nobody puts the... So the normal way to do it, that doesn't help, I'm saying the opposite, right? The normal way to do it, apparently, for tea, is you put the tea essence into the water. I don't know how he knows that, but that's what he's saying. That's the metzias the Mishnah Berurah must be assuming. The normal way to do it is to put the tea essence into the water. So on Shabbos, you should reverse it, al shinoi, and therefore that makes the tzoveya shayla a little better. Okay, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But it's very important to add the following caveat over here, which the Mishnah Berurah himself mentions, which is this is only a chumrah, right? So if there's going to be a preference al tilchos bishul to do it the other way, that comes first, right? Lamashal. Let's say you don't have such a fancy matzav like in Chevron. So you have tea essence that's cold, right? So now you're not going to use a kli shlishi. You're just a pashat yid. So you have two choices. You could put the tea essence into your cup and then pour the hot water onto it from the urn, or you could pour the hot water in first and then add the tea essence. So even if al tzoveya, it would be better to put the tea essence in first. Als bishul, it's much worse, because we paskin yesh bishul achar bishul bedavar lach, and even though we're makel maybe for klisheni in bishul achar bishul, or certainly a klishlishi, but we're iroy is a real shaila, so you definitely should not put the essence in first and then pour the water in, because that's a real bishul shaila. Rather, the better thing to do would be, in that case, to put the water in first, put in your hot water from the urn, and then add the tea essence. I was wondering what he would say about if you're going to use a kli shlishi. What would be, so there's a mile of putting the essence into the kli shlishi, because then you don't have iroi kli sheni. Well, that's a very shvach mile, right? Or would it be better to first to chop the chumra out the essence, and put the essence in first, and then do iroi kli sheni? So I don't know. I don't know what the Mishnah Berurah would say.
Kli's aren't relevant, so right.
I understand. I was saying.
Shinoi would say there's still some type of shinoi.
No, that's a point.
Why do you think my tea essence is shayach kli shlishi? I thought it's pretty good.
You don't need it. But I'm saying if there's a chum rapis.
Well, what's the chum
rapis? Yesh b'shalcha b'shvalach.
No, not a
cliche. Not a cliche.
Not a cliche.
Not a, I understand, but I don't know. So you're saying
the essence may be
that's a shaila. Are you more choshish for that? Mm-hmm. Saying no. Tani's arguing tea essence is nothing more than water. I mean, it's nothing more than colored water.
Well,
so
we're talking about milk, right?
That's
the shaila.
He is a crazy.
That's
yeah, right. So the pashtus is then. I think what Dani is saying is the pashtus is if you're already using a kli shlishi, so then it makes sense to pour from the kli sheni into the tea essence, right? But if you're not using a kli shlishi, then first pour the water in and then add the tea essence. But Salosky pointed out, he says that's a good cheshbon to tell people that are like learning Hilchos Shabbos. But when you're like telling the Hamon on this point, you definitely should not confuse them, like, with the tzviya. Don't mention the tzviya thing. Just say, pour in the water and then add the tea essence. Because otherwise, if you tell them the tzviya business and the different, this is going to be so confusing. Fine. Yeah, you had a question before.
Yeah, I just don't understand why for the Mishnah Berurah there's a difference between the case where it's only the mechira and the red wine into white wine. And the red and white wine, I'm doing it because there's a chumrah to have red wine on Leil HaSeder or whatever.
So, first of all, is he talking about Leil HaSeder?
He's just talking about mixing the
wine
in general.
And that's actually why some poskim say after Leil HaSeder, maybe you should be more machmir, because it's a halachic concern. I that's why I give the example of the Tu B'Shvat Seder. I didn't say a Seder Seder. No, in other words, over there, where you could make the case, it's not obvious, but you could make the case that at the Seder, so then, where there's a malusa to red wine to remember the dam, omer loch b'damaya chayi. Oh my goodness! So then, we're going to be a little bit more machmir. But under normal circumstances, and that would be more like I was suggesting, that when it's omer lamachira, so once it becomes something very, very important, so maybe yeah, I don't. It's a chumrah still, I think, but you could argue that there we're more machmir at the Seder. Seder, you should be more machmir.
Isn't it just not tikkun ochrin if you're doing it to sell it?
No, because it's still pashup shah, it's ochal still.
It's like wrapping it in a nice packaging.
Okay, that was the argument we made. That was the sire. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, we'll stop here. I guess we didn't finish. So let me tell you what we're going to do next time. And we'll definitely, Be'ez Hashem, finish next time. I don't know if I'll be here or not, but we'll finish. So we have left. We're going to talk about Tzviya She'ena Miskayemes. If you haven't had a chance to do the Chayadim, you should read that. We're going to talk about Tzviya Derech Luchluch, you know, wiping your hands on napkins or the like. We actually sort of discussed this. We'll get back to it, the question of Bedika cloths. And bandages and the like. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch Harav that I sent you. It's on the Makoro sheet, as well as the Avnei Nezer that's on the Makoro sheets. So those are some of the very interesting topics we're going to talk about next time. So next time we'll finish Tzoveya. We'll talk about eating ices on Shabbos. Zem Mutter Aser. We'll talk about photogray lenses. That's a very big... So the question is going to be like this. I think there's a strong tzad to be makel for ices, though. Maybe we're going to have Ram, I don't know. But what about, you can think about it, what about for a kid who's mechavim? They like to show their kids, you know, their lips are blue now. I could tell you that yesterday I saw many a kid like show off. They weren't using ices. They were using other types of Laffy Taffys or the like. Oh, look, my tongue is blue. Oh, look, my tongue is green. So maybe that would be also okay. Think about it. One of the very practical questions that comes up about this, though, we'll be discussing is photogray lenses. There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe, Chel Gimel Simin Mem Hei. Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa talks about this and the like. So we will, we're going to discuss photograys and the like. So I think next time we probably won't go on past this, but we will be moving on to kosher next. So keep that
in mind.
Oh, unbelievable. Okay.
What's great about this is that now we can have shared during Pesach also. It's like, what's the
difference? What a great Hara. We can't if you're on Shabbos. I don't know.